Would you turn to Leviticus chapter 1? You know, I think it was, I don't remember what day it was. I think it was a Thursday night. We started talking about how Elijah threw his mantle on Elijah and how he had to go through certain areas too because he wanted the anointing of God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And can everybody hear me? Okay, praise God. Leviticus chapter 1. Tonight's teaching is called Burnt Offering. Yeah, that's you. Flesh is going to be cooking tonight. Glory to God. What's for dinner? Flesh. Whose is it? Yours. Glory to God. It's a good night to die, right? Leviticus chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. Would you read it with me? Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it to his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. He shall offer it with his own what?
Free will.
Amen. That means you got a choice, huh? Is everybody there? Verse 4. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. You know where the fight is at, right? Right. Hallelujah. So you already have atonement for it, right? Through Jesus. He shall kill the bull before the Lord and the priests. Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. A burnt offering is a representation of a sweet aroma to God. Okay? And if you notice something, it was the priests that were ordering this. They were handling this. And there's something that we call a burnt offering. God accepts burnt offerings. In the Old Testament, you're going to find that there was a lot of rituals of outwardness. There were sacrifices for blood, all kinds of things, because there was a shadow of things to come, which was a representation of Jesus coming. Amen? So, as the priests accompanied the sacrifice of burnt offering, it was a representation of the sacrifice of flesh. Now, you and I are occasionally flesh creatures, and we want this to be a constant burnt offering to the Lord. Amen? Go to Leviticus 6. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Leviticus is a representation of the rituals the priests had to do because it was the tribe of Levi. In verse 8 through 13, if you'll read it with me, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on another garment, and carry his ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And it shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Well, it shall never go out. This is the law of the burnt offering. There should be a continual whole offering. Now, you and I might call it a self offering of self. They might call it an offering of things that are worldly in our life, a perpetual offering that the fire must constantly be burned. If you notice, he said in the morning and even in the evening, that fire must be constantly burning. Now, this fire is talking about a fire by the Spirit that's refining me and you, okay? You and I are going through a refining on a constant basis in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they had to do it outwardly. But you and I have a choice also. You and I always have a choice. God lays things before us and we have a choice. He begins to expose us. We have a choice to accept it or reject it. You and I have a choice. Next Tuesday, we're going to do a power of choice, but hallelujah. We're going to talk tonight about burnt offering. Praise God. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. So we see that this burnt offering must be what? Continually. Continually. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Praise God. Now, Satan is always going to try to oppose. He's going to always try and come against your burnt offering. He's going to try to put the fire out. That's his job. Do you understand that? That is his job. In chapter 21, would you read it with me? Read verse 1 and 2. I think that's what it is, yeah. Chapter 21. Chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And verses 1 and 2. Everybody there? Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. What did he do? He moved David. What did he do? He got him out of position, didn't he? Do you understand that the devil always wants to get you out of position? All of your knowledge, all of your stuff, all of your relationship, you can still get moved out of position. Real easy. Unless you learn how to stay in the Spirit. That's what your Christian walk is about, staying in the Spirit. That's what it's all about, and keeping that burnt offering going. Because if the fire is constantly going, you're in the Spirit. So we see even Satan convinced David to do something he shouldn't have. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it." And Joab answered, "May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?" Now David's servant even knew that it was going to be a stumbling block to Israel. Amen? Now go to verse 7. And it says, read it with me. "And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, 'I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolish.'" What did he do? He repented. It didn't stop the reaping, though. "Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and tell David, saying, Thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you.'" Can you imagine God saying, "Look, you got three things coming to you. Choose one of them, because you're going to reap what you sow. For much is given, much is required." And you must understand something. In this house, much is given. That means much is required. So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me." And David said to Gad, "I am in great distress, I bet. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man." Forget it, man. The devil's used man. Just set me in the hands of God, no matter what my judgment is. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. So the Lord sent the plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it as he was destroying. The Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, "It is enough now. Restrain your hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." Therefore the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on a threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves, but Ornan continued threshing wheat. So David came to him and looked, and Ornan looked and saw David. And he went out from the threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. And David said to him, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at full price that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." David knew. He knew how to stop the plague. What was God waiting for? A burnt offering. Do you understand? He was waiting for a burnt offering to stop the reaping. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 26. So David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of the burnt offering. That's a quick answer, by fire. So the Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword into his sheath. In other words, that was that. At the time when David saw the Lord had answered him of the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, of the altar of the burnt offering which Moses had made in the wilderness, were at the time at the high place of Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. I said, okay, we got this stop. I'm just going to hold off right here. I'm not going any further. But one of the things God is looking for is a burnt offering. Now, as we get more and more into this, you're going to find out that one of the things is, listen, Satan's always going to try and put your fire out. It's your responsibility and my responsibility to keep the fire going, because you live in a world which is unclean. You pick up things every single day. We all do. Just like a light bulb that collects dust every day finally starts to get dimmer and dimmer. You and I pick up things that you don't even know. The Word says that you don't fight flesh and blood, right? The Word says that we're to get dressed with the full armor of God so we can stop or put the full shield of faith on so that the fiery darts would be quenched. Well, those fiery darts are corruptible seeds. Any corruptible seed that passes in and gets in you is associated spirit. Everybody got that? So it's our responsibility to keep a burnt offering going all the time. A thought could be a burnt offering to God. What are you doing? You're putting it on the fire. Fear comes. No, you put it on the fire. You're constantly keeping yourself clean because it's our responsibility to keep us, isn't it? Amen. And we talked about this before. It's not our responsibility to protect us. It's our responsibility to keep us, because protection associates with pride. Too many people are trying to protect fleshly things, things of the world, instead of keeping self, right? So this fire is constantly going. You and I are a walking, burning fire. In fact, the Word says that our angel is not a flame of fire. Amen? When God showed up to Moses, how did he reveal himself? Fire. Let me tell you something. When Moses saw the burning bush and he walked towards it because the Lord called him, first thing the Lord said is, "Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground." Let me tell you something, that burning bush changed Moses' life. Changed his life. Totally. When he was in God's presence, the old man was burned out. Amen. In fact, when he went back to his wife, it was like, "Honey, It's been real. You're either with me or you're not. Pack the kids up. I'm following the Lord. And she didn't say, oh, no, wait. She went with him because she saw God's presence on him. She saw a new creation because he was with God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Take your shoes off and put on Holy Ghost shuffle. Hallelujah. Put on those Holy Ghost running shoes. Praise God. So Satan opposes your burnt offering. Your burnt offering is obedience also. You understand that? Your burnt offering, that burnt offering is constant. You know why? Because you're denying yourself. One of the things that God is looking for is obedience. That's how he got to Satan through Job. You remember when the angels came before God and the Lord said to Satan, what do you think about my servant Job? Have you considered him? I mean, you know, he sent Job up. I always share this. Job was in the corner going, no, no, no. Not me. But God sent Job up. But he knew that Job would not curse him. He knew that he would be obedient no matter what his circumstance was. But the first thing that God allowed Satan to do was to remove Job's livestock. Because Job kept a constant burnt offering going to the Lord for his family and everything. And Satan couldn't get to him. That was his protection. The first thing that God allowed Satan to do was remove his livestock. Once Job's livestock was removed, Satan had access to him. Everybody got it? The burnt offering stopped, didn't it? But what killed, what was really tormenting Satan was Job's obedience. God used Job to get to Satan. Many people think, oh, God just tested Job and this, that. Forget it. God was after Satan, but he had to go through his rules and regulations that he created because God does not interrupt himself. He doesn't come against his own word. So he had to go, you know, he's very smart, you know. So he had to go through another avenue to get to Satan. Because Satan hates me and you. I mean, he just wants to kill us, right? So God used Job. And how did he get at Satan? By obedience. Obedience keeps your burnt offering going. Once you disobey, it starts dwindling, going lower, lower. David made an offering of sacrifice of mercy to God. And that's when the judgment stopped. Bam. So everybody got it? That's when everything stopped. And God relented and pulled back. Burnt offerings. Go to Revelation 1. Is everybody all right? Oh, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And what are we? Priests, aren't we? We're priests and kings. The devil doesn't want you to know that. So a priest is involved in burnt offerings, right? So you and I must maintain our priesthood, even involved with burnt offerings. The devil's always going to try to hand you something, right? To move you out of position. Remember that. No matter what it is. And most of the time it's from your past. He can't hand you anything from your future. It's always from your past. Amen? Praise God. So we are priests. That means that you and I are to handle burnt offerings. We are qualified through what Christ did. 2 Chronicles 29. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 29. In verse 11, would you read it with me? My sons, do not be negligent now. For the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister to him and burn incense. That's for every one of us. Never neglect your priesthood. Never. That you should stand before him and minister to him and burn incense. Incense represents your prayers. Okay? Incense represents your prayers. Go to verse 15. And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king, at the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. Hello? Are you the house of the Lord?
Amen.
There's always a cleansing going on. Now, whose responsibility in cleansing it? We are. I know some of us need to take some logs out. That's why the word says take the plank out of your own eye. Take the National Grand Forest out of your eye, right? What are you doing? You're cleansing yourself. You're putting it on the burnt offering. You're keeping it going. Lust of the world, lust of the flesh, pride of life, you're keeping it going. You're keeping it going no matter what it is. Certain people you used to associate with, you're keeping it going. You're keeping it going. Amen? Verse 16. Read it with me. The priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook of Kidron. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished, right? Hallelujah. Let me see where we're going here. In verse 18. Then they went into the king Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of the burnt offerings, with all its articles, and the table of the showbread, with all its articles." I'll go to verse, we're going to just skip through some of this because it's going to talk about all the cleansings. Go to 25. Now they started talking about the bulls that they sacrificed and so forth and the cleansing. And in verse 25 it says, "He stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with string instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offering on the altar." Your praise and worship is a burnt offering. Has everybody got that? Your praise and worship is a burnt offering, man. Hallelujah. Where are we at? Verse 28? Oh, verse 26? 28, okay. So all the assembly, read it with me. So all the assembly worshipped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the what? Burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Praise be to God. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads in worship. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. You gotta have a willing heart. You gotta have a willing heart, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. So he cleansed the house. So you know, one of the things that the devil wants to always do is get you out of position so you won't allow the house to be cleansed. Remember, you and I pick up things. You know, even when you sleep, it happens. The devil always imparts things in you as you sleep. If you've ever had a wicked dream, you woke up and you go, "Man, I can't stand that kind of dream." Well, don't just gripe about it. Do something about it. Get rid of those corruptible seeds. Repent for associating with it. "But I didn't have a choice." Why take a chance? Amen? Amen. Repent from it. Did you accept that dream? Yeah. Well, then you need to repent. Hallelujah. Praise and worshiping is a burnt offering to God. Do you know, you and I in praise and worship, fire goes up. Goes up. Glory to God. Go to Ezekiel 46. Ezekiel 46. Zeke. Oh, yes. Praise God. Ezekiel 46. In verses 9 through 15, Ezekiel 46. Would you read it with me? Oh, hallelujah. "When the people of the land came before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever entered by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate." Hallelujah. They ain't coming in. When you come into worship, you don't come out the same way. Amen? When you go in one way, you come out another way. Amen. And whoever enters by the way of the south gate shall go out by the north gate. Praise God. So no matter where you're from, the south or north or east or west, when you go in, you come out another way. Oh, hallelujah. He shall not return by the way of the gate through which he came. Praise God. But shall go out through the opposite gate. Now the prince shall then be in their midst. Hallelujah. When they go in, he shall go in. And when they go out, he shall go out. At the festivals and at the appointed feast, the grain offering shall be an ephah full of bull, an ephah full of ram, and as much as he wants to give for the lambs and the hin of oil, with every ephah. And when the prince makes a voluntarily burnt offering, hello, confession brings possession. And they confessed their sins to one another and got healed. A voluntary burnt offering. or a voluntary peace offering to the Lord. The gate that faces toward the east shall then be opened for him. Access granted. Does everybody understand what just happened? This is how you get access to God. This is how you get favor. Access is granted. Does everybody understand this? When the prince makes a voluntary burnt offering, a voluntary peace offering to the Lord, the gate that faces towards the east shall then be opened for him, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings as he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and after he goes out, the gate shall be shut. Oh, hallelujah. God is a consuming fire and a rear guard, isn't he? He goes before you as a consuming fire, and he's your rear guard. When you begin to learn about taking what the devil tries to put on you and putting it on the fire as a burnt offering, as a voluntarily will offering, and going to God and repent for associating with such things, and as you go into praise and worship with a pure heart, a pure mind, and clean hands, you come out another way, and God will grant you access to what's needed. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. Let's keep going. Verse 13, would you read it with me? You shall what?
Daily
make a burnt offering. Would you say that again? You shall daily make a burnt offering to the Lord of the Lamb of the first year without blemish. You shall prepare it every morning. And you shall prepare a grain offering with it every morning, a sixth of the ephah, and a third of a hin of oil to moisten the fine flour. This grain offering is a what?
Perpetual
ordinance to be made regularly to the Lord. Thus they shall prepare the lamb, the grain offering, and the oil as a regular burnt offering every morning. Every morning, go to Romans 12. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. Romans chapter 12. The perpetual burnt offering. I like that word, perpetual. Reminds me of the Veggie Tales. The perpetual, what is it, tickle? Perpetual, I don't know. Praise God. Romans chapter 12. Perpetual. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2. Would you say it with me? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I request that you perpetually present your bodies a living sacrifice, a burnt offering. You are to present yourself as a burnt offering to God every day. No flesh or glory. And do not be conformed to this world. Well, then now he's telling you what's going to prevent you. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable or perfect will of God. Every morning you're to present yourself as a living sacrifice to him. every morning. Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I repent for what I've done. You get washed by the blood because of the sacrifice must be blemish free. And only the blood of Christ can wash you every morning. Amen. By your repentance. Then you present your spirit, soul, and body, members, and memories, emotions, imaginations, conscience, subconscious, attitude, motive, and desires to Him every morning. The more you give to Him as a sacrifice, a burnt offering, He takes care of it. Whatever you're holding back, you take care of. And we're tired of taking care of it. Hallelujah. Has everybody got it? Every morning you're presenting. You're a living sacrifice to the Lord. You're a burnt offering every morning. You're a sweet aroma to Him. He waits every morning for you to come and present yourself as a living sacrifice and a sweet aroma to Him. It honors Him. Glory to God. Go to Genesis 22. This one's for me and you. Genesis 22. Glory to God. You know, we have a tape called Separation. You know what? One of the things that we've got to learn to separate are, because things that we pick up are not ours. But the devil wants to convince you it's yours. Once you've accepted that it's yours, you contaminate yourself. Fear. Well, how you doing? You know, some people welcome fear. Some people welcome sickness. No. Some people welcome torment. And not even realize it. First fiery dart goes by, bam, they go, oh, I'm dead. I'm sick, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever. And the devil's going, yeah. What else you want? He says, they're all yours. Oh, man, they're all mine. I got all these troubles, man. All these burdens. I got all these burdens. No, they're not yours. We must begin to learn to separate. Separate. So you cannot, you and I, look at those things that come to you, you're to turn around and put it on the fire. That's a burnt offering to the Lord. Amen? That's a burnt offering to Him. Amen. We're not in management, are we? He's the manager. We're walking in freedom. Praise God. See, that fire is going to keep darkness away too. Remember, what's going to happen in the end? There's a lake of fire, right? Fire is going to come down from heaven. I had a dream one time. Thanks, I just reminded me. I had a dream one time that, don't be offended about this anyways, but there was this Catholic priest, and there was this young kid, and he was talking to this young kid, and all of a sudden they got quickened to get between this priest, but he really wasn't a priest. And I got between them, and I began to push this child away. And all of a sudden this priest changed. His eyes got, you know, whatever, and he became a demon. Oh, you know, the next thing I know, fire came from heaven, poof, all around me and this boy. And the priest couldn't come across it. It was like fire. Fire. Fire was all around me. He couldn't come across it. He couldn't come across that fire because it was the fire from heaven of protection. Amen? So if you put a burnt offering every morning, you lay yourself down before God as a living sacrifice, you have protection. Let me share something with you. What you choose to accept, God can't protect. What you choose to accept, God cannot protect. If you accept fear, He can't protect you. The Word says that the devil cannot touch you, but the world is under the sway of the wicked one. So the Word says don't touch anything unclean, right? So whatever you choose to touch, the devil has access. But thank God for repentance, so we can get cleaned. Oh, hallelujah. Genesis 22, and verses starting at 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Everybody say tested.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now that's pretty wild, right? God telling you to take your kid and go sacrifice him to him? I don't think too many people would agree with what God wanted to do. Lord, this can't be you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and he said, "Father," he said, "Yeah, it's my son." He said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" I'm not going to go into this big teaching about it. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And he did, Jesus, the Lamb of God. So the two of them went together. Then they came to a place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, the one you love, from me." That was known as an idol. See, God considered that worship as a burnt offering to him, as a worship towards him. So everybody got that? Amen. Listen, there are many idols in people's lives. Some people's idols are jobs. Some people's are families. Some people's idols are self. And he's saying, lay this idol on the burnt offering. Whatever may be between you and God, you need to lay it on the burnt offering. Keep yourself clean. Lay it on the burnt offering. Now, oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 10. Well, you want to keep that fire going, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Chapter 10 and verse 37. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Matthew 10, verse 37. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, that's pretty intense. "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life will, for my sake, will find it." Hallelujah. He's talking about a new life. A whole new life. Some of us need to lay our associated friends that we used to call friends. You know, they're either in Christ or they're not in Christ. If they're not in Christ, they're your enemy, because you never know when they're going to turn on you. And they will. That means the devil has access to them to get to you. And some of us need to turn some of these on the fire and go on. Amen? Jesus said, if anything gets between you and him, it's an idol. Anything. Go to 1 Kings 18. Now let's go to 1 Kings 19 first. 1 Kings 19. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 19, "So he which was Elijah, he departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father, my mother, and then I will follow you.'" Now you got to understand something. This is very powerful, because here Elijah, the prophet, chooses Elijah to take his place because he's getting ready to boogie on home. Now, the first thing Elijah says is, let me go back and kiss mom and dad first. Now, look what Elijah says. He said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? In other words, Elijah was offended by what Elijah was doing. What do you mean, go back? You know how many times God calls you and people want to go back to the world? They want to go back to the world. They're like, wait a minute, let me just take care of a couple things. You know, there's still a few things I need to take care of before I can follow God. Forget it. You don't try God, you do it. When he says come, you drop everything. In fact, if you go into the scriptures and you find that when Jesus went and saw the disciples, every one of them dropped it immediately. Bam, and they followed him. He didn't say, do you believe me? He said, will you follow me? And they dropped it. Bam, immediately. And they followed him. Because the word believe means to follow. If you're not a follower, you're not a believer. You're a liar. And you're kidding yourself. Actually, you're deceived by the seducing, deceiving spirit, but we're not going to go into that now. Hallelujah. So Elijah, in verse 21, turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their fat using the oxen's equipment. Now, you got to understand something. We've shared this before. To be wealthy, there would have been 6 oxen. He had 12. He was loaded. His family was very, very wealthy. What he just did was he said, okay, forget the world. Forget the money. Forget my family's business. I'm putting it on the burnt offering. Forget the person I'm supposed to marry that's been ordained by man. Forget that. Forget all of these things. I'm putting it on the altar. I'm putting it on a perpetual burnt offering. And I'm following you. Some of us think we're supposed to be marrying certain people. When you find out later on, if you give God the opportunity, most of you are going to find out it was the wrong person. And you're going to thank God. Yeah, well, I know it's not the wrong person. Well, give God the opportunity to prove it to you, if it is or it isn't. Amen. So Elijah turned back, took it, cooked it, burned it, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he rose and followed Elijah and became his what?
Servant.
He became his servant. First thing you and I need to do is burn the world. We got to burn the world, man. Got to burn it. You got to come out of Egypt, which means worldly. Remember, the Lord used Moses to take the people out of Egypt. The thing is he put them in the world, in the wilderness, so that Egypt could come out of them.
Amen?
Amen? He put them in the wilderness so Egypt could come out of them. So Egypt's going to slowly come out of you as you begin to lay these things down. Listen, if it's God, it's going to be there, isn't it?
Amen.
If it's not God, don't force it. Because he can see it in the future. Well, you can't always. He knows exactly what's what. Oh, hallelujah. Perpetual burnt offering. Go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Would you read verse 1 with me? Everybody there? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, that takes a lot of burning. That takes a lot of burning. Yeah, but no, but we're not the butt ministry, right? We're the head, not the tail. The Lord is my, he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He caused me to hear his word, Jeremiah said. I went into the potter's house. He caused me to hear. You know, you're in the potter's house. Welcome to the potter's house. So he can mold you, melt you, kill you, and remold you in his image and likeness. Amen. Oh, that refining fire is wonderful. That's wonderful. The Lord says He chastens those He loves. Oh, man, I just hate chastening. I love it. Because when I'm corrected, I know. That's something He learned. He taught me. If I'm corrected, that means there's something better. Correction is not about exaltation of self or one better than the other. Correction is so that the old man can be moved aside and the new man can take its place and whatever it is. The whole thing is some of our old ways, attitudes, tongue, need to get put on the burnt offering, the perpetual burnt offering. Amen. When you get offended, you can't hold it. You got to put it on there. When there's a time where you've been hurt and you've got to forgive, you better put it on there because you better forgive instead of holding on to it. Every single day, these are happening to the children of God. Every single day. When you sense competition and jealousy, you better put it on the burner and let it cook. Fear, you better put on there. Rejection, you better put it on there. Has everybody got it? See, so no matter what, things aren't going your way, they're constantly put on there. But you first got to let God expose you to Him. And you must be able to receive what He's exposing you to. So whatever He's exposing you to, you can take it and put it on the burner. And let that part not come back into you, but let Christ take that place. So that perpetual burnt offering is continually going. Go to Acts 2. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Acts chapter 2. And verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Where were they? They were in the upper room. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them what? Divided tongues as fire, and one sat upon each of them. Praise God. They were cooking. They couldn't scream, but they were praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? They were praying in the Spirit. Praise God. Why? Because they were now the temple, weren't they? They were the burnt offering. Oh, to God be the glory. Tongues of fire. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, if you'll read it with me. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Oh, to God be the glory. Would you read it? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, let me tell you. When you're in that fire, all things are passing away. All things are becoming new. Daily. Secondly, all things are becoming new. Who would think that you'd be sitting in this room listening to the Word of the Lord? Who would think I'd be sitting up here telling the Word of the Lord? Still blows my mind. Hello. But when the fire hit, I was a new creation. And it's still cooking. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out, right? You're better off cold than lukewarm. But He said, be hot. Keep cooking. Be zealous. Keep cooking. Whatever you're picking up from the world, put it on the fire and let it burn and go ahead, just like what Elijah did. Keep going, man. Don't stop. You blow it, you pick it up, you cook it. Go. There should always be a flame behind you, Wherever you go, there should be signs and wonders following. Fire should be left. Amen? Oh, hallelujah, because you're a new creation. You got to maintain that new creation. It's our responsibility to maintain that position by being a perpetual burnt offering. Oh, to God be the glory. 2 Kings 2. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
We're going to smell a lot of smoke. Smell a lot of flesh, right? Praise God. Things are going to start cooking. Glory to God. Second Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into the heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Now Gilgal is the place, you'll see that he, well, we'll read this through. Then Elijah said to Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Bethel. And Elijah said, as the Lord lives, and or as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now, Gilgal was a place of sacrifice. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of burnt offerings. It's a place of death. Okay, and I'm going to show you that here in a second. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. You can hold your hand here in 2 Kings. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Praise God. In verse 1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has appointed you commander over his inheritance? Now this was King Saul. See, God has appointed you over his inheritance. So he has to anoint you with the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'll go to verse 6. And let it be when these signs are, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy with them and be turned into a what?
Another man.
Glory to God. Can't take care of the things of God in the flesh. The things of God are spirit. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. In other words, we do as the occasion demands on Friday nights. You shall go down before me to where? Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. What was he doing? He was going there to make an offering, a burnt offering, sacrificial burnt offering. In other words, one of the things he was burning was he was accepting his call. He was accepting an anointing and he was burning the old because he had just become a new man, wasn't he? Now, one of the ways God begins to cook you is to have you wait. And we have a wonderful teaching called God's Waiting Room. He has you wait. Here, Samuel told Saul, he says, okay, 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Some people can't wait 5 minutes. Because they're not cooked yet. That perpetual burnt offering is always there. You know, the devil loves to push. But I want it right now. But you said that the Lord was your shepherd and you shall not want. God knows exactly how to deal with us in every area. You and I must be a continual burnt offering. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go back to 2 Kings. We'll go there. 2 Kings in chapter 2. Then Elijah, in verse 2, and this is Elijah, it says, Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now, Bethel is a representation of the house of God, a place to choose God's way. It's the house of God. You want to dwell in the house of God, you have to make a choice. Amen? You got to be willing to pay the price. Has everybody got it? You got to be willing to pay the price. Now, one of the things we want to do is keep coming out of Gilgal and get out. The devil always tries to bring you back to Gilgal. Gilgal is a place where you've accepted salvation. Now it's time to go and move on. You've done the burnt offering there, but when you blow it, you can end up back in Gilgal. Amen? Now I want to show you one other thing in Gilgal so that you can continue to go on to Bethel. From Bethel, you go to Jericho. Jericho is a place of refreshing, life, and sight. From there, you go to Jordan. Amen? Which is a place of promise. But I want to take you to one other place about Gilgal. Go to 1 Samuel 15. So many of us want God's presence, but we're not willing to go through the fire. And there is a process. You must pray the price. 1 Samuel 15. Glory to my Father. Now King Saul blew it again. He was disobedient. But he thought he was doing the right thing for God. And in verse 32 and 33 it says, "Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me." Now Saul was supposed to have killed him. But he brought him back. He brought some of his livestock back and women and children. And he thought he was going to have a big feast for the Lord. And he was disobedient. And so Samuel showed up on the scene and said, "Bring that king to me. Let me show you exactly what needs to be done, Saul." And then Samuel said, "Bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me." So Agag came to him casually. And Agag said to Samuel, "Surely the bitterness of death has passed." Amen. But Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women." And Samuel took Agag, Samuel hacked him in pieces before the Lord in where?
Gilgal.
Gilgal. Let me share something with you. The things that you've been disobedient in, the things that God has asked you to do, but you've only done halfway. You haven't done it with full heart or all the way. You need to cut in pieces. Everybody got it? And start over. Cut in pieces and put it on the burnt offering. The things that you have not fulfilled that God has asked you to do. Because in the eyes of God, it's disobedience. And disobedience prevents that perpetual burnt offering up to the Lord. Does everybody got it? Only obedience keeps it going. Same thing what Samuel did. He took that king and cut him in pieces right before the Lord in Gilgal. So why? So they can go forward. Does everybody got it? So they can go on to where? Jericho or Bethel. So they go on to the promised land of Jordan. When you get to the promised land of Jordan, everything is available for you. That's when access is granted again. Does everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay?
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. So you can take your sickness to Gilgal, cut it up. You can take your fears to Gilgal, cut it up, put it on the altar, and get out of there. Go on to Bethel, go on to Jericho. Right? Go on, man. Don't play no games, just keep going. 1 Kings 18. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? verse 21, I believe it is. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? How long will you serve? Which one are you going to serve? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Now most of us know the story. And let me share with you what happened. Because I'm not going to read this whole thing. What happened here was Elijah was challenging and he got sick and tired of the ways of Baal, the people worshiping Satan. And they would do burnt offerings and so forth. So Elijah said, listen, this is it. Get all your prophets, get all your people. Come on, here it is. There's an open discussion right here. And he says, you make your altar to your God. If he's truly God, you call fire down, cook it. Well, there was 450 prophets of Baal, right? And there was just Elijah. So they were all day chanting, dancing around. They finally ended up cutting themselves. Some of them probably bled to death. Nothing happened. So Elijah says, okay. He started mocking them too, but I'm not going to get old, man. So where's your God, man? Asleep on vacation? What's that? And so Elijah built the altar. And he put the sacrifice on there, and he took water and filled all around it in the ditch, trenches. Poured water on it, three times the amount. And he said, listen, here it is. Here, if the Lord is truly the God, you'll worship him. And he'll send fire down from heaven. Now he says this. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you. Then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones, the dust, and licked up the water with it in its trench. There wasn't nothing left. Now check this out. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Let me share something with you. As you constantly keep that perpetual burning fire, God is going to use you to call fire down. He's going to use you to expose wickedness. He's going to use you because fire is light and always exposes darkness, no matter what. You know, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. You and I, right now, there's a move of Elijah. It's a move of the Spirit that's happening. In fact, the spirit of Moses and Elijah is here on the earth. It's happening right now. Elijah, in the spirit of Elijah, which John came, he was the forerunner of the return of Christ. He was the one that was crying out in the wilderness saying, he's coming. He's coming. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The same spirit of Elijah is on me and you now. He's called the Holy Spirit. And you and I have power. Every day I call fire down from heaven on the powers of darkness. Do I see it cook? Well, one day I was driving by a place. I cursed and commanded it to wither and die. Called fire down, and you know what? It burned. It was a place of ill repute. It doesn't happen all the time, but it did happen. In fact, one day a car was on fire on the side of the road, and I was driving by. And I had some jugs of water in the back of my car, but my back doors were locked, and I thought, man, how am I going to help this guy get this fire? And the Lord said, just command it to go out. And I turned around, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you fire to go out. And that fire went out in that car. It wasn't me, it was him. dude looked at me like, whew, what's up? I got my 46 Chrysler Limo that had Jesus on both sides and took off. Hallelujah. But you know what? There's life and death in the power of the tongue, right? Amen? See, the devil don't want you to know that stuff, man. He don't want you to know. You know? As a man thinketh, so he is. If you think you're a weenie, you are. Hello? If the devil convinced you that, you know, secular is more important than spiritual, then that's what's going to happen. If your life is more important than his life, it won't work. The Word says it's no longer we that live, but he that lives within us, right? Praise God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Keep that fire cooking now. Keep it cooking. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So you got a foul mouth? Turn it over. Cook it. Right? Still got goofy things? Keep putting it on the fire. Don't stop. But you first got to repent, don't you? Because without repentance, there's no access of the Spirit to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for what? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the old ways, if anyone's willing to keep that fire burning as a perpetual burnt offering, cleansing himself, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also useful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive to do his will. Got to keep it burning. Go to Philippians 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Philippians chapter 3. Paul said something very powerful here. In verse 7, read it with me, please. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. In other words, I keep throwing that stuff on the burner and keep going. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's the one thing the devil loves to do, is bring things from your behind. Amen? Amen. Who you used to be. You know, one of the worst things that people can caught up on is war stories. Man, I used to do this, I used to do that. You know what you're doing? Exalting yourself. You just put out the fire. And you've opened a door to the devil. Because you, me has gotten involved. That's what we try to share with people. Man, don't be exalting yourself of your old man. Cut the what do you call it? Cut the flesh. Cut the exaltation of self. Cut the foolishness. Amen? Cut it off. You're a new creation in Christ. Why go back? Paul said he counted it all dung. It was garbage. Poop. I press toward the goal for which the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if anything that you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the what? Same mind. Forget it. You know what? When you start getting back in the past, you try to fix the past. And you'll put out that fire. You can't change anything in your past. Only God can. But why go back and fix it? Go forward and let God take care of it. Amen? And keep that fire burning. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. But you don't know what they did to me. Cook it. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Some of these affections need to get cooked. Amen? Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because good company, bad company corrupts good habits. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you will come out from among them, if you'll be separate, if you won't touch anything that's unclean, I'll receive you, I'll be a father to you, you'll be my sons and daughters. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, hallelujah. Keep it cooking. Keep the fire burning. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, it's wild because so many times some people feel the heat of God's presence or the fire of God come upon them. It's called refining fire, isn't it? You know what's happening? He's burning out the garbage. He's burning out the garbage. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. In verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. Read it with me. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, amen, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, or what sort it is. Many people are still trying to build things with the world. You know, if the whole church was standing before God, you're going to find that some places are going to cook right up because of worldly programs. Hello? Worldly ways. You know, many people invite the Holy Spirit, but don't let them work. Amen. Hold on a second. I got an announcement to make. There's a difference. Oh, people can invite the Holy Ghost, but they don't let him do what he's got to do. Because of worldly programs. Wait a minute, collection time. Hold on, God. We need to collect money first. Need to cook that. Need to cook it. That's why so many good evangelists get beat down because of so many goofy ones that are out there trying to suck people's money. That's why the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, hurts right now in certain areas financially. Because of what has been laid before. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Fire. Good things will not burn out. Only the bad things will burn out. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a what? Reward. Praise God. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Yet, so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In you. He says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, with which temple you are. There's a burning, continue, perpetual burning sacrifice to God. It's that burnt offering that constantly is burning. You know, the Word says that you and I are the light of the world, aren't we? Why hide that light underneath the bed? Right? Why are they the light of the world? Because they're cooking. Amen? We're the light. Anything that the devil tries to put on you, you need to turn it over to the fire. No matter what it is. Especially your past. Has everybody got it? I want to close in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen? Keep it cooking. Don't let the devil deceive you. Enduring. Keep it cooking. Whatever comes to you that you know is worldliness, turn around and put it on the fire. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask for your continuous fire and wisdom and knowledge that we may take what is not of you and put it on the fire in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.